There will be no Sunday catechism classes here at the chapel next Sunday, February 19th. Classes will resume on February the 26th. And please note as well that St. Pius V School will be on winter break from February 20th through the 24th. And the Monday night devotions for February the 20th will be canceled. They will resume on the 27th. Also, if anyone is intending to enroll a first grader into the school next year, the deadline for first grade registration is on Tuesday, February the 28th. Now, the Lenten dinners will be beginning again the first Friday following Lent. And during the Fridays of Lent, we have 6 p.m. Mass as well as Stations of the Cross and a supper served between. And I do encourage you to make the efforts to attend these devotions during Lent. Now, the epistle appointed to be read for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 9 and 10. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain, and everyone that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as at one at an uncertainty I so fight, not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized, and in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle, and he saith to them, Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he saith to them, Why stand you all the day idle? They said to him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith to them, Go you also into my vineyard. And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more. And they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, These last have worked but an hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heats. But he answering said to one of them, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That we who celebrate the feast of the apparition of the same Holy Virgin may obtain health both of soul and body. Words taken from the Collect of the Mass for the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, which feast we celebrated yesterday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today, as I said, is Septuagesima Sunday. And today and the following two Sundays, Sexagesima and Quinquagesima Sunday, are meant to be a transition for us from the joyful season of Christmas to the penitential season of Lent. And although there are no public penances prescribed, such as fasting, during this time, nevertheless, the priest is vested in violet vestments And that color symbolizes penance. In the Mass, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, the great hymn of joy, is not said. And the Church does this to gradually prepare us for the holy season of Lent, which is a time of prayer and penance. But today I would like to speak to you about the great feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, a feast of Our Lady which is a contradiction to the spirit of the modern world, which spirit is unbelief and immorality. The Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes was established in the Church by Pope St. Pius X in the year 1907. And this Feast of Our Lady commemorates her 18 appearances in the village of Lourdes in France in 1858. It was on February the 11th in that year that a 14-year-old, simple and uneducated girl, Bernadette Soubirous, was gathering firewood with her sister and a friend. And the two girls ran ahead, leaving Bernadette to follow. And as Bernadette stooped over to take off her shoes before crossing a little millstream, there was a sudden noise like a violent wind. Bernadette looked up and saw a golden cloud emerge from a grotto on the other side of the stream. And then suddenly there appeared a beautiful lady. The lady was clothed in a dress and veil as white as snow with a blue cincture. Her feet were bare but were adorned with golden roses. She looked at me, Bernadette later said. She smiled at me and she motioned me to advance towards her. All fear left me. I seemed to know no longer where I was. I rubbed my eyes, Bernadette said. I shut them, I opened them, but the lady was still there. Without thinking of what I was doing, I took my rosary into my hands and went to my knees. The lady, Bernadette said, then made a sign of approval and took her into her hands a rosary which hung on her right arm. As Bernadette prayed the rosary, she said that the lady allowed her own rosary to glide through her fingers, but joined in the prayers aloud only at the Glory Be to the Father. When the rosary was finished, the lady disappeared. This, my dear friends, was the first of the 18 apparitions. And during those 18 appearances, Our Lady gave many messages to Bernadette. One occasion, she told her to drink the water from a spring which suddenly came up at the foot of the grotto. She instructed her at another apparition to inform the parish priest that she wanted him to build a church there in her honor. And during the 8th apparition in particular, Bernadette turned towards the vast crowds of people with a message that Our Lady told her was to be delivered at that moment. And thus, as she turned and faced thousands and thousands of people, Bernadette cried out, "Repent, repent." For the message of Our Lady was to do penance for your sins. Now, according to a certain biographer and author, in the 50 years that followed the apparitions at Lourdes, there are some 4,000 medically miraculous cures recorded. And among the 4,000 miracles that have occurred at Lourdes, or did occur in only those 50 years, there is one in particular in 1908 that is of great interest. A French woman had her sight restored at Lourdes, although her optic nerve, that is the nerve that controls the sense of sight, that optic nerve was completely and irreparably damaged. She had been examined numerous times before and then numerous times after the miracle. And please note, it was by doctors and scientists, some who were Catholic, some were non-Catholic, some were even atheists and agnostics. But all concluded that the very fact that she could see defied the laws of nature. In fact, another group of doctors, among them atheists, declared in 1948 that the 11 miracles that occurred between just 1947 and 1948 at Lourdes, the 11 medical miracles were beyond the powers of nature. The atheistic and agnostic doctors and scientists acknowledged that something was happening here, but they refused to believe that it was supernatural. They just dismissed it as unexplainable. These miracles and the thousands of others like them at Lourdes, they are a contradiction. They are a sign for an unbelieving and immoral world. You know, I always find it interesting when I read the statements of world-renowned scientists such as Dr. Richard Dawkins, who is the famous worldwide evolutionary biologist from England, or I read Dr. Stephen Hawking's writings. He is the world-famous astrophysicist. Neither of these men believe in God. They are both proclaimed atheists. And when asked about how the world came into being, Dr. Stephen Hawking said that the universe created itself. That was his explanation. The universe just made itself. You know, that's like saying, my dear friends, that's like saying 0 + 0 = 1. That's what this world-famous astrophysicist is saying. As for the evolutionary biologist, when he was asked how the world came into being, he outright rejected that God had anything to do with it, because he said there is no God. Or at least he was about 99% sure. But his explanation of how the world came into being, and by the way, he completely rejected any notion of God, any notion. His explanation of how the world came into being was that many, many billions of years ago, some ancient alien race on some other planet and some galaxy far, far away. This sounds like Star Wars. This ancient alien race created life in this world. He is willing to accept that as a possibility, but he will not accept the possibility of God. He rejects it. And I really, after reading through Richard Dawkins' writing, I don't think he really doesn't believe in God. I believe he hates God. And if you read carefully what he writes, he hates God because God has given us commandments in regard to morality on how we are to behave, what we are to follow. And Richard Dawkins hates that. So they are willing to accept the most outrageous explanations, but they will not accept God, nor will they accept the miracles at Lourdes that are right before them. Just as the Jews of old rejected the miracles of Christ, so they reject today the miracles of Lourdes. The church, only after years of weighing all the evidence as the unexplainable miracles and the testimony of Bernadette, only after some years did the church actually approve of the apparitions of Lourdes, because she's so careful about that. The message of Lourdes, my dear friends, is simply this. It is the same message that Our Lady brought to La Salette. It is the same message she would bring to Fatima in 1917. The message is this. It is to pray and do penance. And I encourage you, as we approach another Lent, to really take this message to heart. Remember, Lent is a time to make holy resolutions. It's a time to straighten things out. Lent is a time to make resolutions for praying more or praying with greater devotion. Lent is a time to renew that resolution to be more patient in suffering and hardship. Lent is a time to give more thought to the passion and death of Christ. And I can't think of a better way than to attend the Stations of the Cross on Friday evenings during Lent. Lent is then a time of fervent prayer and penance. And thus does the Church, for those who are ages 21 to 59, the Church prescribes a fast, a penance to her children. Let us then, who by the grace of God have the one true faith, let us resolve to make a good Lent this year. And yes, I know it is a matter of a few weeks away still, but let us even now begin to give it some thought that we are going to carry out the fast according to the laws of the Church. We are going to strive to practice greater patience in the midst of suffering and crosses. And we are going to strive to be pure according to our state in life. And I really can't say that enough, to be pure according to your state in life. And I can't say it enough because we do live in an impure world, a world that has just rejected God's laws on chastity and purity. And I have to tell you, this is so serious because one sin against purity, one willful and deliberate sin against purity, whether it is in thought, word, or action, it is a mortal sin. And one mortal sin, unrepented, just one, is enough to condemn souls to hell, where they are tormented for all eternity by an immaterial fire that burns the very spiritual soul. And where the souls in hell, according to St. Alphonsus de Liguori, they are tortured by demons for all eternity, who unleash, he says, a wrath upon them that is beyond anything that can be imagined. One mortal sin is enough to condemn us to this place of torments, because one mortal sin is an infinite offense against God. How pure we must be, how careful we must be in this impure world, and how we must ever strive and make those efforts to preserve and protect our purity. How we must ever make those efforts to be pure in our hearts, in our homes, and in our families, to do the practical things to protect our purity. God forbid that it should ever be said of any one of us who have the one true Catholic faith. God forbid it should ever be said of any one of us what St. Paul wrote in today's epistle. He wrote this about the chosen people at the time of Moses, who had the one true faith. And what he said was, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased." But with most of them, God was not well pleased. And why was God not pleased with them? despite the fact that they believed in Him and they worshipped Him? Because St. Paul tells us they coveted evil things. And by that he means impurity. And what happened to them? By order of Almighty God, some of them were put to death in the desert, which putting to death symbolized a casting into hell. Let us take this to heart, my dear people. It is not enough to believe, but we must do. That is, we must do the practical things to be faithful to God and His commandments. Even as we must have confidence and trust in the mercy of the Sacred Heart, who loves us with an infinite love and desires with an infinite desire that we save our souls. But we must do our part too. And our part is to go to confession often. It is to receive Holy Communion with devotion. It is to be faithful to daily prayer, especially that rosary. That rosary which obtains for us powerful graces and protection from Our Lady. And how we must avoid the occasions of sin and keep those occasions out of our homes. Ever praying that the most pure and immaculate Virgin Mary, the Lady of Lourdes, that she obtain for us and our families the grace of final perseverance. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.